Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21, Rabbi Bini Marilis. We now come to the end of Sefer Shoftim, and the last chapter of the book serves as the last chapter in the trilogy that belonged to the story of the Pileges B'Givah. The first chapter dealt with her story with respect to her dismemberment and her death. The second chapter, chapter 20, dealt with the war and the massive tragedy and destruction that befell the tribe of Binyamin, as well as other tribes. Total sum number of people that were killed is an enormous total. And chapter 21 deals with the aftermath, the cleanup, almost, in a sense. What happens next? What about the tribe of Binyamin? What about them being part of Klal Yisrael? What about them surviving this disaster and going forward as a tribe? All of this ultimately will reside within the refrain that ends the book with respect to Ein Melech B'Yisrael, that there's no king in Klal Yisrael. And perhaps with that context in mind, that's the entirety of the Sefer, and perhaps it provides a good summary to the entirety of the book. The Jewish people, at times when there's no right and ripe leadership, are in great peril and in great danger. And it's simply not clear in terms of how to behave and how to act and how to react and how to command and how to lead. And perhaps it's the understanding of Shmuel in writing that if they had a proper king in a proper society, these things would not have happened, they would not have occurred, and that person would lead them and direct them in the proper path, perhaps at the same time in the proper derech of Hashem, with respect to their worship and service to Torah, Mitzvos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the aftermath of the war, almost the entirety of the tribe of Binyamin is wiped out. Most of the men, they went back and killed all the women in the last verse. And now we learn about something that we didn't know before in the first verse. The notion of a swearing, of an oath taken by the people to almost exclude the tribe of Binyamin from Klal Yisrael, from the Jewish people, going forward. And the detrimental effect that such an oath would have on the people. V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzpah limur. The people of Israel, the person of Israel, it's in the singular as we've seen before, swore in mitzpah, as follows. Ish mimenu lo yitin bito leBinyamin leisha. A man amongst us will not give his daughter to Binyamin, to the tribe of Binyamin, as a wife. They're out of the pale, they're out of the community. No one to marry them. We will not allow them in. Ve'yavo ha'am beit el. After this notion of this decree, maybe in their anger, in their emotion following the war, they make that decree. They follow and they return to Beit El, the house of God, perhaps at the actual city of Beit El. To this, David says that it's Shiloh, that they come to the house of Hashem in Shiloh. Either way. They rest, they sit there. You can imagine them on the floor, sitting on the floor until the night. They raise their voices and they have a great cry fest. They are bursting at the seams in tears. They are wrecked emotionally. Perhaps the toll of what has just occurred begins to become clear to them. They begin to sense the great destruction, almost churban, that has taken place in Klal Yisrael, and their emotions take over and they cry. Vayomer in verse 3, Lama Adonai Elohei Yisrael Hayisazos Bi Yisrael. Why is it that such a thing, God, has happened in the Jewish people? Lihipaket Hayom Yisrael Shevet Echad. That one of the tribes is almost lost from the Jewish people. It's an amazing question. It can be taken, perhaps, in two ways. Perhaps it's one of acknowledgement of the mass destruction that is taking place and the mourning that they are sensing in the aftermath of such a destruction, of having participated in such an event, of having to do what they had to do. It's just almost a sense of remorse, and it's a mournful cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, almost like an Eicha. How could this be? How could such a thing happen? Ay, 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 how could such a thing occur in the world amongst us, the people of God? At the same time, it can be viewed as a most arrogant question. How could they ask such a question? Don't they realize what happened? Don't they know what led to such an event? Aren't they not aware of the build-up and the lead-up to such a war? How could they ask a question? Aren't they the ones who just persecuted and prosecuted such a war? And they ask this question? Either way is a legitimate approach. Perhaps it's a combination of the two. Perhaps the next verse sheds light on the previous verse. Vahimi macharas, in the next day, vayishkimu ha'am, the nation rises early, vayivnu sham mizbeach, they build an altar there at Shiloh, vayalu olos ushlamim, and they offer karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To perhaps cement and reestablish the relationship with God, to find themselves back in the good graces, as it were. They offer offerings. Perhaps it's tshuva. It's not exactly clear, but they have korbanos. Olos are kalil laHashem. Korban ola goes completely up to God, and the shlamim is a korban that people participate in and partake of on their own. And these are the two kinds of offerings that they give. Metzudas David adds the notion, perhaps, that they are sort of beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give them the right etzah, the right insight, the right path to go forward in terms of the future of the Jewish people. But now, practically, in verse 5, they come back to a situation that is most dangerous. Here you have a tribe, the tribe of Binyamin, literally teetering on the edge of extinction. What are they supposed to do? What are the rest of the people supposed to do? How are they supposed to handle this? Vayimu b'nei Yisrael. Mi asher lo ala b'kahal mikol shivtei Yisrael al Adonai. Who amongst our people, did not go up to fight in the theater of battle in this war? They're not done yet, it seems. They're still looking for a little bit of vengeance against those who did not join them in this great war. Ki hashvua hagedola hayisa, because the great oath, the large oath that we took upon ourselves, la asher lo ala el Adonai hamitzvah lemor mos yumas, then anybody who did not come up would be punished with death. That was part of our arrangement. That was part of our setup. So who didn't come? But now it flips. Vayinachamu b'nei Yisrael el Binyamin achiv. The Jewish people have a sense of comfort, a sense of mourning, a sense of compassion for Binyamin. Vayomru nigda hayom shevet echad mi Yisrael. And they say that one of the tribes of Israel has been cut off. Nigda. Cut off from the Jewish people. And now they have to figure out what to do with them. Verse 7. What are we going to do for wipes for these men? Because here it is that they just simply basically wiped out the tribe of Binyamin, and now they have to realize, oh, we just wiped out the tribe of Binyamin, but we have a few guys left. They have no one to marry. So, and we can't marry our daughters to them. What are we supposed to do? How are they going to survive? Practical scenario. So it seems that, you know, they begin to care once again for another tribe. Although the care goes a certain distance and stops. Manaselam el nosirim lenashim. We have sworn to God that we cannot give our daughters to them for wives. Now one could ask a very simple practical halachic question here. So do hataras nedarim. We do it nowadays. We nullify our oaths, our vows, before Yom Kippur, before Rosh Hashanah. So if why not do hataras nedarim there? Get the Sanhedrin together and say, you know, we didn't know that was going to get this bad, and that we were going to destroy, and everybody was going to die, and there was going to be so much death, and all the women were going to be killed. We had no idea. If we had known that, perhaps we wouldn't have prosecuted the war in such a manner. But they don't do Hataras Nedarim. In the same way that Yiftach didn't do Hataras Nedarim, they're not willing to go back on their oath. So they have to find another way to find women to give to the people of Binyamin so that they can, you know, repopulate the land and repopulate the tribe. So they go back to what was in verse 5 about who didn't come in the notion of death, but now they're going back to that with respect to using that as a way to find women to marry to Binyamin. Vayomru. Mi echad mi shifte Yisrael shelo ala Adonai ha-mitzpah. Who didn't come to the war? Vinei lo ba'ish ela machana mi yavesh gilad el ha-kahal. No man from Yavesh Gilad, the area just across the river. No one from there came. They didn't join. They didn't prosecute with us. They didn't battle. They were Parish Menatzibur. They were separate. From the areas of the Gilad. I mentioned before that it's across the river. I made a mistake. It's really in the reaches of Ephraim, a certain group of people. They look into the matter. They look into their group, the people that they gathered there, and they don't find anyone from Yavesh Gilad amongst them. There's nobody there. V'yishlechu sham ha'eda shnei maser elef ish mibnei hechayil. They sent 12,000 men from their group. V'yitzavu osam leimor, and they command them as follows: Lechu v'hikisem es yosh v'yavesh gilad l'ficherev v'hanoshim v'hataf. Go there and strike down the people of Yavesh Gilad, the women and the children. It's like an amazing thing. Here they just felt compassion for the people of Binyamin, because they wiped out the tribe and killed all the women, and they have this mournful and sorrowful and compassionate sense about them that they want to repopulate the tribe. So how do they go and do that? They go and they kill more people. It falls into the refrain, as we mentioned before, there's Ein Melech B'Yisrael. There's nobody directing them to how to handle these situations and how to lead. V'zeh adavar shetasu, this is what you should do. Kol zachar, all men. V'chol isha yodat mishkav zachar tacharim. All men and all the women who have been with a man should be destroyed. So Das Sofrim says that doesn't mean women who are married, because women who are married, so they're not an abomination and they're not a problem and they're not who we're talking about. Here he's saying women who out of wedlock having relationships with men and are involved with men in a physical way. So those are the people tacharimu. That we should be left with is essentially people who we can then marry to Binyamin. So he says, "V'yimtzu miyoshe yavesh gilad arba me'os na'ara besula." They find 400 young virgin women, asher lo yada ish l'mishkav zachar, that had never been with a man. V'yaviu osam elamachan es shilo, asher be'eretz kenan, and they bring them to Shiloh. The purpose of which is to marry these women off to the tribe of Binyamin. They then go and send a legion out to the people, the remaining men of Binyamin who were hiding in Sela Rimon. And they call out to them in peace. They want them to return. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to attack you. We're not going to hurt you. We feel bad. We're sorry. We apologize. Peace. Let's make peace. We killed all your people. Let's make peace. verse 14, Vayasha Binyamin Ba'esehi, the man of Binyamin come back. And they give them the women that survived from Yavesh Gilad. But there's one problem. Lo matzu lahem kain, they didn't find enough. Right? There was not enough parallel number of men, number of women. We have 600 men, we only have 400 women. There's a little bit of a shortfall of women. And now again, v'am nicham l'vinyamin, the nation felt bad, compassion for the people of Binyamin. Ki asa adonai peretz b'shivtei Yisrael, because God had made and God had allowed, or God had created a situation of this breaking down of the tribes of the Jewish people. Now to figure out what they're going to do. Vayomer ziknei ha'eda, the elders, ma na'ase la'nosarim l'nashim, what are we going to do with the rest of them? Ki nishmedam mi'Binyamin isha, all the other women have been destroyed and wiped out from Binyamin. What are we going to do? Vayomer Yerushas Pleita leBinyamin v'lo yimachas shevet Yisrael. We cannot have them. We cannot have them completely wiped out. And the nation responds, aren't they now saved? Vayomer Yerushas Pleita leBinyamin. They are inheriting. They have the lo yimachas shevet Yisrael. They're not going to be destroyed. They're not going to be lost. We've given them wives. Okay, so we're 200 short. What are we supposed to do? Vanachdu in verse 18. We can't give them from our daughters. We swore, evil is the person who gives his daughter over to Binyamin. Again, the question. Hataras Nedarim. Just do Hataras Nedarim. They refuse. They don't even go there. It's not even mentioned. So they come up with a good chap, a good idea, something that they can do, which sort of circumvents the issue of the shvuah, of the oath, and yet it allows for the remaining men of Binyamin to find wives. They say as follows, there's going to be a holiday in Shiloh in the coming days. Right, that's in a certain location, that's north of Beit El, to the east of the sun. According on the road from that's going up from Beit El to Shechem, and south of Lavona, and say, go and ambush yourself, set yourselves up, hide in the vineyards at that time. And what they're saying is about to be stated is what we come to know with respect to Tu B'Av, the notion of the women in the fields, and the men finding their wives or the women in the field. The women are dancing, they're dressed a certain way. And here you get the first vision of it, essentially. And they say, if the women of Shiloh go out and dance in the public, who are dancing in the fields, then you should come out of the vineyards, out of the trees almost. You should go and you should find, you should take, literally, take a wife from them. In other words, in that way, you're avoiding the problem. No one's giving you the woman. No one is violating their oath. At the same time, you're able to be married. And if their fathers or their brothers come and argue with us on this, v'amarnu aleihem chanunu osam. Have rachmanis on them. Give me a break. Don't argue about this. They need people. We destroyed them. Chanunu osam. Kilo lokachnu ish ishto mi b'milchama. Kilo atem nisatem lahem ka'es tesham. He says, they would say, they didn't have enough women. What are we supposed to do? You won't give your daughters. You can't give your daughters. There weren't enough women from Yavish Gilad. Don't worry about it. Fear not. And you're not violating your oath. So Vayasu came Bnei Binyamin, Vayisru Nashim Limisparam, Mina Micholos Shagazalu. So the people of Binyamin do this. They marry and they take women to their number, equal to the number each person of singular wife. They go back home, back to their land. They go and they rebuild the cities that were burned, and they go and they settle there. So Binyamin goes home to rebuild, to reestablish themselves as a tribe. Lamaisa, a few hundred years later, if we're taking this story to have taken place at the beginning of the Sefer, really, in times of Othniel and Kenaz, then a few hundred years from now, they will have rebuilt themselves to the point where the first king of the Jewish people comes from their tribe. If it actually happens, according to the other Mefarshim, like the Radak, that it actually happens here at the end, then a very short time, Binyamin rises to great numbers, or rises to a place where they're able to have a great king come from them, and the king of Shaul, and they're able to reestablish themselves as a tribe, a very worthy tribe in the Jewish people. Binyamin goes home. The rest of the camp goes home. Everybody returns home. And everyone goes out from there, spreads out from there, back to where they are. And then our ultimate refrain, that which we have focused on throughout the end, throughout the Sefer, really, but mostly in the times when there's no one in charge, in those days there's no king in the Jewish people. There's no one there. There's no one leading. There's no one in charge. There's no king. Remember, the way we have established the Sefer is that Shmuel is writing his Sefer, the Sefer of Shoftim, for his time and for a future time. For his time, it's a Musar Haskel. It's a constant book of rebuke and reminders as to what's the key focus for the Jewish people. But it's certainly the same lesson for the rest of us throughout history in the Jewish people. In the end of the day, the key is being connected and united and related to Torah, Mitzvot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following the Derech of Hashem. And as long as we follow the Derech of Hashem, then none of the tragedies, it seems, would have befallen us then, or perhaps now. At the same time, significant to the Jewish people, there's no melech. And when there's no melech, and there's no leader, so then, for whatever reason, it goes astray, and the Jewish people become far afield from where they belong and where they need to be. It does not mean that it necessarily requires a centralized individual, a melech. It seems to be that Yehoshua had no intent to establish a melech or a melucha following his death, that he was of the opinion, it seems, that by virtue of having a strong centralized religious center in the Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan and a Kain Gadol, and Torah was being followed, that there's no worry, there should be no care, no fear with respect to a centralized power. However, it's also clear from the Sefer that when in fact the Jewish people had a rallying person and a personality, each person in each in his time or in her time, appropriate for their time, then the Jewish people really followed and they stayed pat and they stayed on path and on message with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as this leads into Sefer Shmuel, when we'll learn about the last actual two Shoftim, Eli himself and himself in the person of Shmuel, the last of the Shoftim, leading up to the establishment of the Melucha, so we'll understand perhaps what it is that Shmuel has with respect to the Melucha, what he's concerned about, what he's worried about, what the Jewish people should be thinking about as we go forward. Tam v'nishlam Sefer Shoftim, this concludes our learning for this cycle in the book of Shoftim.